It'll take me a minute to recover from that introduction and those words, but Lord bless you for the precious words. And I came here, I went into the bathroom, came out, and I seen the thing, Jesus loves me, on the beside the mirror. This I know. I said, Lord, this was prayer. May they in this place know that today too. And he comes up here telling me about me even before I begin about that love and that you would, the love I wanted you to see today. But I do love the Lord. Believe me, I do. I love his word. And I'm just overwhelmed by his name. I remember saying about one great man, and some of you may have knew Scheimer Dorr way back in Grace Brethren time. I'm a great man of respect. One day I looked at him and I said, I would like to grow up and be like him. And now some young man says that about me. It's kind of overwhelming. But anyhow, to move on. The Lord has really laid something on my heart to share with you today. And I'm wanting to get to the message of it. Just to share a few little notes about my past here. Most of you remember I was here once before and I gave a message about changing profiles, if you remember that, how once we accept Christ, we become a new creature with a new destiny, but we have a new profile. We start new and we go and we try to do everything good. We want that, when we get to the end, we want that report on us to be awesome with a lot of great works and good deeds. And then the next one was about my Toyota truck, how I was painting it up, and about polished vessels, how the Lord, through all that effort and trial and all the imperfections and whatever, and I realized it was just like me, that truck. It was never going to be without dents and wrinkles and little things that imperfections. But Lord in that said, but I'm going to make you shine with a new paint job. So I was taken by that. And to encourage everybody to seek God to be a vessel that shines. But today I'm here with a message. It's going to go into a different place. It's going in a darker direction. Into the field of Christian warfare. Opposing evil. Message titled, In the Face of the Enemy. But before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just pray, Lord, for your blessing to be upon this house. That your love moves in and out our hearts, Lord. Our passion for you and your spirit opens up our hearts and minds to hear and see and feel, Lord, to experience your word. And to change us, Lord, so we don't even think about leaving this place the same, Lord, that we will be livened to serve you even greater, Lord, that we will be able to go out of this place into the face of the enemy and serve you as Christians should, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a need for assistance to read. So I'm going to put that on now, and I'm not sure it's going to help me a lot, but I'm putting it on anyhow. Okay, after we become Christians, though, the Bible says we become new creatures. We each become born again, child of God, a whole new start, the Spirit in us that gave us new life, crying, Abba, Father, like a babe. At our rebirth, born again experience, Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. It's just a babe, like the babe that just came forth, Silas. Am I right with that name? Born physically, but this is a spiritual birth. And it's an all new beginning. And we get new birth certificates, which the Holy Spirit seals. It's not the stamp of the government or anything or the state, but the seal from the Holy Spirit. It's a seal of promise stamped in our hearts, proof of our citizenship in the eternal perfect kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We are not citizens of this world anymore. We became citizens of the kingdom of God and children of God. We became signed, sealed, and promised to be delivered into God's presence one day when Christ returns or when we would go to him. But it's a promise, signed, sealed, and promised. Think about that a minute. Everyone that accepts Christ, everyone, not maybe you will go, promise you will go. And what that is going to be like, and that experience, it's far beyond our own imaginations to know how great it's going to be. And I pray there's no one here today still walking in the curse of sin and eternal darkness with hearts full of unforgiven sin and darkness because they don't know Jesus. I truly want to believe that no one I know and no one here, including everyone here, who would choose wailing and gnashing of teeth over Jesus Christ and eternal peace and love. That's the choice. I hope and pray that you and we can spread the news, that same message to the community around us, that they would make the same choice as you do. Because that's the choice. Eternal kingdom, eternal light with Jesus Christ, love and peace and joy forever, or wailing and gnashing of teeth. Choose one. And I don't think there's many that stupid that will choose. But there are, and there will be. But everyone should have a choice. Everyone should hear. And it's sad to say, but not everybody is hearing and not getting the choice. And we're here for that. God has planted us here for that service. That's the greatest decision we have ever made. And the greatest decision anyone will ever make is how you feel about Jesus Christ and rejecting him only has one place and one result, and it's not pretty. In fact, it's the place where the worm dieth not, the Bible says. Before we go on, I just want us to bow in prayer for a second, if you will. And let's all pray, silently. Pray for everyone here. And if there would be anybody that needs to say, that the Lord would open their eyes. Pray for those that need healing, that need encouragement, that need to feel some love today, that need help and strength just to get through the day. Pray for a great blessing to fall upon all who are gathered here in this house today. A blessing that will pour into our hearts and out into this church, out of this church today, and flood the neighborhoods with salt and light when we leave here. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, once we become Christians, and I pray we all are one now, we all begin our walks as Christians. As a baby and child, we start taking one step after another as our Christian walk. It's our journey, our life journey. Imagine what's going to be in your journal as you go on your journey. We don't know, but we go forward. And think of it as a journal and a journey. And what is going to be written. Until we finish this worldly course, and our eternal hope is realized, it's our journey through the valley of the shadow of death. And the Bible said in 23rd Psalm, and I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. So in the face of an enemy, as we go through this valley of the shadow of death that we all need to pass through, we Christians are called to take up our crosses daily and follow Jesus. We are not told in here that our Christian journey will be a walk through a peaceful rose garden. There are some who want you to believe that. The opposite is true. It's a journey through a wilderness of darkness, filled with snares and temptations, full of evil attacks coming from outside and from within, even from within this church body, within you, and from all over the community and all over our nation, world. It's just there, the darkness. Matthew 10:34 through 36, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." I'm sure many of us here would know people in their family or close people or friends or whatever who oppose their Christianity. They oppose them for that. And if they oppose you for your Christianity and they oppose Christ and deny him, they are enemies. And we have them in our own families, and they're in our neighborhoods, they're all around us. But the Lord didn't say that we are to. He sent a sword, his word. We are to use his word. And if that turns, if that is offensive to them, we probably have an enemy. They don't want to hear the word. And the world doesn't want to hear the word. So he sent a sword and not peace. It isn't that we just got to be peaceful with everybody and we fellowship with everybody, but we have to make wise decisions in how we deal with everyone, and we need wisdom to do that. And it's not just family and friends, neighborhoods, but does anyone feel like I do in here that you can sense and feel the enemy just creeping in more and more all around us? Do you feel it on our nation, everywhere, on the children, on the schools, in every way? We feel it, we see it, we know it, and it's not unscriptural. The Lord said it's going to be like that. Things were going to wax worse and worse. To be honest with you, though, Christians out there, many of them, maybe some in here, I can say that sometimes I feel as myself in this against this enemy, because it is awesome and wise, the evil that's out there. It's not something that without God we can handle, because without Christ we can't handle it. It's too much for us. And I see so many Christians, and they're all over the world, and they're wandering without a sword, floundering, falling, being injured, snared by the enemy, because they don't even know who the enemy is. So we need to identify an enemy before we can know. Even to begin to know that we have something there that we need to address. Many are so blind that they can't see him, even when he's in their face. And it's not that Satan's standing right there in your face, it can't see him. But he has control over someone power over someone or something, and he's there and you're faced with it. And he wants you to be tempted, lured, snared. And that's how he works. Many have heard this verse preached to them over and over. If you have your Bibles, you can check. You turn to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the key point of that is the beginning, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's people. That's not who we're fighting with. That's not who the battle is with. It's against these principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan and his demonic forces are the ones we're wrestling with. And we wrestle with that sinful nature that's within us as well. This enemy is ferocious, with a great appetite, especially for Christians, for us. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant. That means be on your toes as a Christian. And don't be lackadaisically wandering around out there, because he's going to get you if you do. Vigilant. And in this day and age, you really, I believe, have to be much more vigilant than when I was young, in a younger day. Because he just has so many more weapons now, and means, and snares. Not blind, but able to see dangers that others can't see, because you have your eyes opened to God and his word. It reminds me of a story. It's a young man. He went to, about being able to see things that you other people can't see. But this one young man came home from college, and he was getting married, and he was introducing his wife, his new wife, who was going to be his new wife, to his mother. And he wanted to see if she could pick her out. So he brought two other girls in with him. And they come walking in, and they walked in, first one, second one, third one. And he asked his mother, which one do you think it is? And she said, number three, right away. He said, well, how did you know? He said, I knew the minute I set eyes on her that I didn't like her. So, yeah, and that is in a humorous sense, but she could see something there, and she perceived that she knew exactly who it was, but she picked the right one anyhow. But anyhow, that's a humorous, but now back to the serious notes. Satan, excuse me. Satan is deceptive and crafty, intelligence. He has so much knowledge. He's been here from the beginning. Imagine the knowledge and wisdom he and his demonic forces have purvey to. What he knows about you, your family, things you like, don't like. And they talk about artificial intelligence, you know, knowing everything about you. Well, I don't think he can hold a candle to what he knows about you. If he sets his mind to find out everything about you, he will know everything about you. If you're in his way, and if you're doing more and more for the Lord, he's going to be coming after you and his sources. And you need to be ready for battle if you want to serve the Lord, and be ready for him and his forces. out to destroy us, out to devour us, even destroy our testimonies and our bodies, even physically destroy us, persecute us. I just read where 20 Christians were killed over in one of the Mideast countries just this week. And kill you, out to get you. He can do that. He can kill a body. He can conquer. He can make life miserable for us. He can do imaginable things and cause so much suffering and pain. But he can't conquer us. He can't beat us. We're victors, more than victors, through Christ who strengthens us. So even though in that we got to realize we are power, we are victors over him, and he can destroy that body. But in the end, we know who wins. And we should be rejoicing in that. And the reason why so many of us in the battle, in this struggle, in this warfare, we're going out there, and it's so sad what we see, that there's not more light. In fact, Christians are, instead of making more light, seem to be causing more darkness. That's sad, because they don't know the instructions. They don't know how to stand fast in the face of the enemy. To stand fast. That means when there's a time where someone needs to say something, they say something. They need to be valiant for the truth. Not shut up and be silent and put their head in the sand while the enemy just keeps over taking over your neighborhoods, your families, your children. How to be bold in the face of the enemy. To be bold. Not to whimper. Not to silence yourself and in shame. I'm afraid to say anything about Jesus now, but you know, I know that's not right. But, you know. But anyhow, you know what I'm saying. I've been in those places. I've turned my tail between my legs at times when I shouldn't have. We probably all have. But we need wisdom. We need to know the instructions and how to endure the sufferings and the hardships and the persecutions. How to save those who are in the darkness. In 2 Timothy 2, 23 to 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. And remember that, all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. The ones in darkness are opposing themselves. You are a source to change that so that they can see the light and come out of the darkness and quit opposing themselves and come into the light where they will be saved. If God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ, I'm adding those words, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Because that's where they're at. He's got them. And you know what their hope is, where their hope lies. Christ isn't here now, but we are the church. We are here. We are called to get them out of the snare. Who are taken captive by him at his will. When you don't have Jesus Christ, when you aren't following him, or you don't know him, and you don't know his truth and his gospel, Satan, anything and any way he wants to use you, he can. Because there's nothing to stop him with his power. He knows how to turn all your buttons, push all your buttons, do whatever he wants to get his end. You are taken captive and you are on his team and you're in his darkness. And that's where they're at. If we can open our eyes to see and understand when we look around what really our condition is of our family and our friends and our loved ones and our neighborhoods. in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So there's the answer. They got to believe. The first thing, get out of the darkness. They need that light. They need the blood that we sang about, you know, that makes them white as snow. John 3:33, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. That's a bad place to be, the wrath of God, if you deny Jesus Christ. He's in the camp of the enemy. Christians are snared too by Satan. He can't destroy them, but he can snare them. He can take them out of action. They're not in the service anymore. They're working with him. Following him around, following all the temptations, and throw everybody out of the churches. And we know many that are out there being carried away in the snares. I'm going to touch on this one just a little bit, but there is a spirit about us. If we're following the instructions and we're doing it right and we have the right heart, that we are standing fast and being valiant for the Lord and then standing in the truth and for the truth and spreading the gospel, that there's fruit coming out of us. We have that love too for the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And that should be the fruit that's being seen. And this one, this is a shocker. This is another thing that should be evident. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the perverse mouth do I hate, said the Lord. How about you? Do you have that hate? Does it do something to you? Does it stir that thing in you that you don't like? Well, we do. And there's a lot of hate that's in Christians for evil. But hate for others and people, flesh, or any man, it's evil. And we should hate that too. If it's in us, hate it, get it out. Get it out. Bitterness is whatever toward anybody, out. And if you need to make something right to get it right, get it out. Satan got you in a place where he wants you, and he can really mess up a lot of things with it. So to hate evil. And in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Your moderation, your gentleness. The Lord is at hand. He's right here and available to us. And to you at all times, if you're a Christian. Be careful for nothing. And this interpretation, be careful for nothing. But be anxious for nothing would be saying the same thing. Don't be nervous. Don't be afraid about anything. But here's the instruction. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. By prayer and supplication. I'm anxious about this. I'm nervous about this. You know, you take it to the Lord with prayer, with thanksgiving. That's praise. Praise and request. Make your petitions known to the Lord, and that peace comes upon you, and you say, he's got it. I don't have to be concerned about it anymore. That's being Christian. And we have this enemy all around us, coming in all around us. So what's the best thing we can do? What's the best thing we can do? Yeah, pray. And how great is that? In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That's determination and grit. And supplication, meaning you're seeking the good of others. The action of fervently asking and praying to God, begging for help on behalf of others. And it says, for all saints. That's how we should be praying. So the scripture's telling us to pray. And the Lord's been laying it on my heart for years to pray, and for the last 3 years. And even yesterday, as I was reading something about D.L. Moody, he came to one of his, I guess it was one of his acquaintances, and he was a professor, I guess, at a theological university, and I don't remember it was in Philadelphia or the name or anything. But he said, he came and he called to that group, and he said to his friend, call the students together and tell them to call an evening and call for prayer and fast. And they prayed and fasted for revival. And they did somewhere there at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then with D.L. Moody, there, I don't remember which one it was, but there's been all kinds of amazing things happened. But through prayer, he was a man of prayer. He was a preacher, but he could pray, and that was his important. That was everything. So he did that, and they prayed, and amazing things happened. But he came to a friend. Well, I come to you, my friend, Pastor Andrew, and your congregation, your students, and your elders, and your deacons, deaconesses, and all the way down the line. And I ask you to pray for an event we have coming up. We're going to have Jesus Day 3 in Marysdale on August the 11th, 7 p.m. And we're calling for the whole community and churches everywhere to come out and pray that evening. We're going to sing and pray for an hour, and then we're going to sort of get around the bonfire, and we're going to ask people to throw everything that's not good in them into that fire of sacrifice to God, and ask for the Lord's Spirit to move and come down and rain a great revival upon us all. And I want you to, I would like you to come to gather together and pray for that event. And on August the 1st, 10 days before that event, which is coming up at 7 p.m. on that same field, we're going out there. And we're going to, churches and groups, anyone who wants to come, we're asking them to come. We're going to sing a few songs, and we're going to pray all over the field. Pray for the Lord to anoint that field and anoint us, anoint the community, and prepare us for a great revival to come, to pour down on us. And I don't know, and I've been praying to the Lord for years, and he gave me this clearly 3 years ago before Jesus Day 1. Shout out to my people to unite and rally in my name. And that's what we got, a rally for revival, Jesus Day 3. And pray for that, if you will. There's a letter back on the vestibule that I wrote to the community, and a song that the Lord led me to write. And I'm just going to read the song that he led me to write. And then I will close with that. It's called The Prayers of Many Sparrows One. Lord, unite us all in concert to seek your mighty hand, to humbly bow before your throne and make a valiant stand. From every hill and valley, from churches far and wide, may the call to join this concert fill this countryside. We seek a great revival from heaven. May it spill, pour down upon these mountains, Lord, till every heart is filled. Lord, amplify our voices with great praises in our song. Power up your chorus, Lord. Unite us all as one. May the prayers of all your sparrows become a mighty trumpet sound And when your Spirit blows on us, may every knee bow down. Jesus, day three. Pray for it, will you? And join the concert of prayer. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. You led me here to deliver this, and I did. And I feel so great about it, Lord. And I pray that your love and your grace and your mercy just pours upon these people. Go with them, Lord. And Lord, may even I see some of their faces on Jesus' day. Lord, if it is your will, I pray, Lord, that they will pray and that they will hear your voice and they will continue to go out of this house and work for you and serve you and be the salt and light of this community. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.